Even got a guy in California getting a plane ticket on the way back in. They have yet to slice and dice this man open to retrieve any sort of bullets. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome or welcome back to South Florida, the official gathering place for newbies, novices, and OG diehard fans of the golden age of primetime. I'm your host, Jeff, viewing and reviewing the soapiest subject primetime storylines of the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. Today is a very special day, and I'm jumping into the season 4 premiere of Dallas, the iconic whodunit, Who Shot JR? This episode is titled No More Mr. Nice Guy Part 1. Ooh, you know I love a two-parter. So whether you're new to this or true to this, sit back and enjoy. Tell the kids it's time to play outside or out of sight. Tell they no questions, suggestions, or concerns for the next 25 to 35 minutes. Everyone else in earshot, be cool, be quiet, or you will be kicked out. Especially since I can't talk very well today, you have to be extra quiet. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is the floor. Hey party people, welcome back to another fun-filled edition of Soap Lore. We don't even need to drag this out. If I sound like a muffled child, I forgive me. Caught a little something, and for whatever reason, it still has my voice. So, me and JR have a couple things in common today. We are both native Texans, and yeah, my voice is also shot like him. We're gonna find out who did it or who didn't do it. Yeah, this is the who didn't do it more than who did. I don't even need to go into this. This has got to be one of the most anticipated, most iconic premieres of all time. Season 3 left us exactly where you want to be left on a show that you absolutely adore. JR had managed to piss off 80% of Greater Dallas. He pissed off at least most of the people in high society with that overseas oil deal that he backed out on just in time. Most of his investors were not so lucky, but all was well for at least for him. He kind of yucked and all shucked his way out of it, but everybody's still big mad at him, which is interesting because all of his partners, the cartel, they never wanted to get in bed with him anyway until he started making this money. And he was lucky enough, or unlucky enough, depending on how you look at it now, to benefit from this. So remember, he pissed off the entire cartel and then kind of was like, oh, too bad, backed out of it. He then moved on to his side chick / sister-in-law, Kristen. He said, you know what, get out of town or I'm going to have you arrested for hooking. He went to Alan Beam and said, you know what, you're giving off rapey vibes. Why don't you get out of town or you're going to prison? He already ruined Cliff's life, so there's nothing he needed to do there. But Bob was the wild card here. Bobby couldn't stand the fact that his brother, for the 475th time, had screwed over a Barnes. Never mind, like I said, this is the 477th time that that's happened. This was 478. It was one time too many. He couldn't take it. Not only that, Jock backed up JR. So Bobby finally got on his grown men and decided him and his wife are getting on the first thing smoking. In this case, it is a convertible two-door cherry red Mercedes, and they're getting the hell out of Dodge. And then there's a whole other speculation. There's other people sprinkled in. Whew. Oh, let's get into this. The synopsis is as follows. JR lies close to death as the Ewing family reassembles to wait for the news of his fate, and the police search for clues and suspects in the ... We all know that is a bang, bang, bang. I think he got shot 2 or 3 times. At least twice. Let's jump into No More Mr. Nice Guy Part 1. So from what I've gathered, the shooting happened at the peak of popularity for this show. Not only did the shooting happen during the finale of season 3, writer strike immediately after it. We're still kind of recovering from the woes of our writer strike in 2023. Several of the shows that I was hoping to come back on have not jumped back on. Some are probably never going to air again. There's been lots of things happening behind the scenes, but the whole long and short of this episode, I'm assuming it's the next morning because JR was shot at night. A maid comes in, she's doing like her work, and she looks over, she sees JR sprawled out on the ground. So she screams, calls the ambulance and they come running. Not only does the ambulance come, but there's a whole crowd gathered outside. Now, I don't know how these people find out. I'm sure I don't know. Doesn't matter. They're there. The news cameras are there. And oddly enough, well, after the paramedics wheel JR out of his office and down to the lobby into the ambulance, you see Cliff following not far behind. God only knows where Cliff is coming from. I'm pretty sure they don't share the same office space, but he looks like the first suspect. This episode focuses completely on he and Sue Ellen. We're trying to piece together where they've been, what they've done, and what's going on in this particular case. Now, I have a lot of opinions when it comes to my girl Sue Ellen. She is absolutely, unapologetically, my favorite person on the show, or at least favorite lady. I enjoy watching her crumble. I enjoy watching her rise. And on this episode, I didn't really know what to think. So they're gathering the family. And it is worth noting that because the cast, quote unquote, had been on hiatus for a little bit, everybody looks a freaking amazing when they come back. Everybody is healthy. Everybody is bronze, like they all went to some island. Everybody's tan, healthy, vivacious, which doesn't bode well when you're looking at a guy who's supposed to be Daphne. Supposed to have one foot in the grave, but I digress. The world is waking up to the fact that JR had been shot night previous. Sue Ellen, we find her passed out in the front seat at the airport in her own automobile. Seat belt off, empty bottle of booze in lap. Say what you will about Sue Ellen and her mother. Her mother is, I don't even know what the word would be, predatory. And she's not really a predator because she didn't seek out anybody, but she has raised her daughters, one to be a housewife, the other to be a hoe. Her whole MO in life is to make sure that her children marry off well and endure whatever they need to so long as there's a couple bucks in the bank. Do with that information what you will. It is impossible to deny that all the work that this woman is paying maximum dividends at this point. There's finishing classes, debutante balls, pageant lessons, twirling lessons are all paying dividends because Sue Ellen woke from a deep coma-like booze-induced sleep, sat up, and just snapped into pageant mode. She put on her seatbelt, she straightened her clothes, and she drove up with her head held high. And I thought, oh my gosh, have you ever accidentally slept too hard? Or maybe you had a little bit more to drink. I've never, like, blacked out, but have definitely drank and then slept in my own bed, like, nowhere I went. And slept too hard, like you woke up the next morning, like, dang, is it the same dimension? I can only imagine. She manages to drive herself home. Meanwhile, Jock, Ellie, Ray are all at the hospital because someone called and they're like, hey, get down here. So Ray drove Ellie. Jock either met her there. It doesn't really matter. They're all at the hospital. And guess who turns up immediately after? Bad girl Kristen. Now, I hadn't thought a lot about that until just now, but yeah, Batgirl Kristen shows up because she'd heard all this on the radio. She sees that nothing's going on. So Ellen's not there yet. People are starting to wonder. Jock looks pissed. Who did this to my kid? Kristen's like, I'm going to go get my sister. Now, I'm thinking in the back of my mind, that's odd. But here we are. Kristen ends up going down to the house. She gets to South Fork just about the time that Sue Ellen shows up and she notices that no one's there. She's looking at that bar cart when suddenly Kristen bursts in the door and she's like, Sue Ellen, girl, where you been? Are you okay? Now this is where that good old-fashioned pageant training starts to kick in for Sue Ellen. She's looking left and right. She's starting to put two and two together. Oh my goodness, no one's here. It's a little too quiet. Oh my God, do they know I'm gone? When in walks Kristen. Are you, girl, are you okay? She's like, yeah, I'm fine. Absolutely, I'm fine. Why wouldn't I be? She goes, JR's been shot, and after what you said to me yesterday, I came to check on you. Now, Sue Ellen is given that, oh my God, deer in headlights look. She has no idea Kristen's telling the truth or not, and Kristen's just looking at her kind of pensively. You don't remember? You don't remember coming to talk to me? Enter one of my favorite things in life. A good old-fashioned flashback, full out with the woo-woo music. So this is Kristen telling us, so take it with a grain of salt. Kristen tells Sue Ellen that She was minding her own business. I'm Kristen now, okay? For the sake of this argument. So I was at home, packing up my things, you know, getting ready to leave town. When you come bursting through the door demanding to know where JR is. Where is JR? Where is he? Is he back here? Not patient. I'm scared out of my mind. I'm freaking out. And I say, just relax. He's not here. You need to calm down. Take a little sip of this. And, you know, before I knew it, you guzzled down a drink and then you left. Now, that's what she tells Sue Ellen. What we see as the audience is that Kristen is indeed at home in, like, this really gorgeous purple slip dress. She does seem to be packing. Sue Ellen does come stumbling through the door. But Kristen, bad girl Kristen, is not afraid at all. She doesn't even flinch. Sue Ellen has the pistol in hand. She's waving it like a wild woman, looking for JR, screaming and hooping and hollering. Going back to the bedroom. Where is he? Now, Kristen just puts her hands on her hips. She ain't scared. Sue Ellen comes back, puts the gun in her face. And it made me think. I remember this so well because I thought, dang, she must get a lot of guns pulled on her. Because Kristen has probably had more than a couple pistolas pulled on her in her lifetime. I guess messing with married men, it's par for the course because she didn't even flinch. Matter of fact, she goes over and she pours a big look, 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 look. Glass for Sue Ellen. She's like, here, girl. Puts it in Sue Ellen's face. Sue Ellen chugs it like a champ, smacks her lips, and moonwalks back out the door. Now, once again, we saw this on Dynasty. Nobody gave a damn at the turn of the decade, 1979, 1980, through 85, apparently. If you got schnockered out of your mind and then got back in a car, it is what it is. They're probably thinking it's Dallas. She's going to run into a cow or a tree or something. She's going to be 100% fine. So as we whoosh, you know what I mean. We float back into reality. Sue Ellen is horrified. Horrified, but still trained for this sort of thing. She turns on her heels. She goes upstairs and she just hugs her baby. Then she goes to her bedroom. Kristen's following about 10 paces behind her each time she moves somewhere. So by the time she gets into her bedroom, she opens the door and she really wants to go in to see if that gun is still there. So she opens her purse and she sees the gun there. She's like, crap. Next thing you know, Kristen comes to check on her and she basically says, listen, girl, don't worry about it. I'm just going to cover for you. Don't even worry about it. I got your back. I have no idea if I actually believe that she is going to be this, like, why is she suddenly being so friendly? I don't know. We'll see, right? And they make their way over down to the hospital where the rest of the family is starting to slowly pile in. If you recall, Bobby and Pam had to take off because they just couldn't stand living on the ranch anymore. Bad girl Lucy is off at a book convention, aka she's getting it in with her teacher. While Kristen had gone to check on Sue Ellen, Ray had gone to find Lucy. It didn't take him long. He shows up at her professor's house because he remembered her talking about him. Okay, likely story. Professor's wife was like, oh, okay, yeah, book convention. He must be at the hotel with that hot little blonde. Like, his wife already knows what it is. And Ray's like, dang. Ray has a nerve to judge a little bit. I'm like, sir, the first time we met Ray, wasn't he sleeping with Lucy? I mean, come on. He makes his way to the hotel. He bursts in, blah, blah, blah. Lucy, put your clothes on. Your uncle's been shot. Bobby and Pam are not as easily found. As a matter of fact, we had to enlist the help of the wonderful state troopers of Texas. Now, this is an interesting thing to me because, of course, I can't just focus on one part of it. I have to think about, like, ooh, what would it feel like to be in their shoes? So Bobby and Pam are heading down the highway when a helicopter, which I've never seen before, the helicopter, like, gets on a bullhorn and they say, Bobby Ewing, pull over right now. He pulls over. He's thinking he's about to get a ticket. Pam's kind of thinking that's weird. But the trooper jumps out and he says, hey, your brother's been shot. I have strict orders to get you back to Dallas Memorial. He's like, oh my God, oh my God. So they go get in the plane. But lucky day for this young trooper. Think about it. This is your job. It's probably not the most glamorous thing on earth. I mean, I'm sure there's a couple car chases. You're mostly giving people tickets. You're just trying to keep the roadway safe, which is an important job. Can you imagine showing up to the work that day, getting to ride in a helicopter, and then the guy that you need to, like, find happens to have this really hot two-seater Mercedes? So the kid's like, hey, do you need somebody to drive your car back? And Bobby's like, of course. what a great day for this kid. He looks so happy. It's like, my God, I get to drive a Mercedes. Runs away, everybody's fine. So now we're all collectively at the hospital. Jock has a nerve to give Sue Ellen the dirty eye, the stank eye, like, where you been? And she goes, I don't know. I really don't know where I've been, but I'm here now. He's not having it. He makes some snarky comment about her being drunk. But Ellie tries to smile it off, as she does. She's like, don't worry, Sue Ellen. Don't run away from South Fork. Lucy shows up about this time, and she's more concerned with the fact that she sees Pam and Bobby than the fact that JR has been shot. She's much more interested in that storyline. And it's worth noting that most of the family, nobody really seems upset in a distraught way. Sue Ellen is upset because she can't remember. Ellie seemed to be considering a lot, but she's still like trying to work her magic, thinking, okay, at least I got one son back. Let's make sure Bobby doesn't leave. And if JR lives, he lives. Jock is pissed because he got shot, but no one is crying. Not a single tear is shed in all of Dallas for JR being shot. Funny enough, on the other side of town, Cliff has managed to mosey on back to his house, and it appears that he has picked up where Digger has left off as far as drinking is concerned. He obviously has the 5 o'clock shadow. He seemed a little drunk when he was following the paramedics outside of the building, but he didn't seem to have a memory of it. So he's back at his apartment, turns on the news, and he's just chilling watching TV when he sees a story about JR, and he's not really showing any emotion. He's not excited. He's definitely not sad. He's just kind of indifferent as he watches the television, until they start panning over the crowd and you see him as clear as day, and he's like, oh crap. So he gets up to pour himself a drink, and that's all we really get to see at that moment, because it flashes back to the hospital. Now two things happen. This episode is obviously gathering all the usual suspects, but they're putting a heavy, heavy pointer finger at Sue Ellen and Cliff. So now we know that Cliff was there. Cliff looks indifferent. Cliff didn't seem to remember being there. He didn't seem to be all that bothered by it being there. But he definitely knows. We know that they're the main suspects. So the phone rings. And Lucy, the candy striper lady, comes out. Who I actually thought, I looked up the actress. It's not Lucy's little sister, but she looks a whole lot like Lucy. She announces that Mrs. Ewing has a phone call. Lucy and Ellie go over to the nurse's station and take a phone call, and guess who it is? Crossover number one for season 4. Good old Gare and Valene are on the phone. Valene had heard all the way in Knott's Landing on the radio that JR had gotten shot. So Gary calls, and he's just trying to get the piece of the, you know, trying to get the information together. She starts to break down when she hears his voice. She goes, oh my gosh, it's just been so much. So Lucy takes over the phone call because Ellie is putting on. Mind you, she was stoic. She was perfectly fine when she found out he was shot. She was more relieved when Bobby showed up, and then hearing Gary's voice, it's like she's just overcome with joy that the two kids she like still like her. So Lucy hops on the phone and she's like, oh, daddy, mama, and not mama, grandmommy. What does she call her? Whatever. My grandparents are old and they're tired and it's just so much. And he's like, don't even worry about it. I'm going to get on the first thing smoking, and I'll make sure I get to Dallas. So he's on his way. Gare Bear's on his way. Now, the other minor things happening is that with JR being incapacitated at the moment, the doctors are taking an incredibly long amount of time before they do any sort of operating on him. Mind you, he was shot at night. Clearly, like in the PM, it is bright daylight. They've had enough time to find half the family. Even got a guy in California getting a plane ticket on the way back in. They have yet to slice and dice this man open to retrieve any sort of bullets. So the doctor's kind of going back and forth saying, okay, we're going to do X, Y, and Z. None of it's super doctory talk. And it's none of it's important because we know he survives. What's important is what's going to happen to Ewing Oil. That's what's on Jock's mind. So he's like, Bob, I need you to step in. I know you just came back to make sure your brother's not dead or whatever, or pay your respects one way or the other. But while you're here, do you think you can run down to the office? Handle a couple of administrative tasks, you know? Which is obvious. This is the worst thing, though. Think about this. JR just screwed the pooch over the day before. He's pissed off most of the oil cartel in Dallas, so they all hate him anyway. Then he gets shot. So that's like big news. So you know that people are already going to be calling. You basically threw Bobby into the fire. Bob, I know you have zero media training or zero spine. So could you go down to the office and basically bear the brunt of this until we can figure out if JR is going to keep breathing or no? Thanks, babe. And of course, Bobby does it. He's afraid now. He's terrified. He doesn't trust his own voice. Actually, it's not that he didn't trust his own voice. He doesn't trust what he says. When he says go, he doesn't believe that his dad is going to back him up. So, at the end of this episode, we find ourselves lying in wait to see if Sue Ellen's going to remember. JR goes into surgery. Things turn out to be just kind of okay. They're fine enough to where he's not going to die. They put him back in the room. And Sue Ellen is sweating bricks at this point because now she doesn't know if he's going to wake up and say, oh my God, you shot me. Or if he's gonna, like, is he gonna wake up at all? She's just kind of holding her breath. And sure enough, at the end of the episode, he's lying in bed, tan and healthy as he can be. He starts to flutter open his eyes, and we're kind of left with another cliffhanger. Worth its weight. You gotta admit, when the season first opens, you have to go kind of collect everybody, you have to catch the audience up, especially back then when they had come off of a longer than usual hiatus. So we've gathered everybody. There's also mentions, honorable mentions of some of the people who were in the cartel. There was a guy who'd actually, he ended up taking his life. So they're kind of looking around him. They're still looking for Alan Beam. They're just kind of scraping up all the suspects. I'm still looking at the side of my eye over Kristen because I don't really remember what happened. Full disclosure, I couldn't wait. After I finished this, I'm just going to stop recording and record the next episode because I had to watch episode 2 just to see how everything is falling into place. This season is already kicking off, giving me everything I need. But that's going to be all for this episode. Join me next time when we pick up on No More Mr. Nice Guy Part 2. I don't know who the hell Mr. Nice Guy is supposed to be. It could be anybody. In the meantime, in between time, be good to yourself because you deserve it. Stay moisturized, stay hydrated, mind your business, and keep all of your drama on.